You get a chance to continue my legacy here in Pinstripes, you know, in the best city in the world, the best baseball city in front of the best fans. This is an incredible honor.
That one's driven deep to left field. There's a flight. See ya. A long home run for Judge.
Gerrit Cole goes the distance.
Left, it is high, it is far, it is gone! Number 62 to set the new American League record.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Four Train Savages podcast. We have episode number 140. My name is Rob. Tyler is on the other end of the Zoom room today. And Tyler, we just finished up a series with the Minnesota Twins at the stadiums. The Yankees go ahead and split that series after a real ugly start on Thursday. A disappointing win or loss that should have been a win on Friday, and then a good win on Saturday, and a great outstanding performance by Gerrit Cole, our guy.
Hello everyone, Kermit the Frog here.
So it was a rocky start to the weekend, to the long weekend, but the Yankees went ahead and split the series. And as we said before we hopped on 139, we said, hey, we'll be okay with the split, and that's what they got. And I will say this before I let you jump in. I will say this. I don't know if you feel the same about this Minnesota Twins team, but ever since we saw Correa come in here, and he's he obviously went through and got Clay in Game Two, and he seemed to me, I feel like that is the worst case scenario, at least when it came to the Twins, because he killed us when he was with Houston.
Oh, yeah, he loves playing against us.
And I think if there was any way that a guy to come in and flip the script of what the Minnesota Twins have done against the Yankees, because we know how long that the Yankees have owned them, I would have rather him to stay in San Francisco or the Mets or whatever. But I don't know. Welcome, everyone. Tyler, how you doing?
Not bad, dude, like you said. Going back to you know, episode 139, we were like, you know, it's hard to win four game series. Like, it's hard to take three out of four for any team. It's just a lot of games. You know, bigger series, obviously. And we were gonna be cool with a split and going into it. You know, obviously dropping the first two. Brito looked bad. We lose by 10 runs in the first game. We were like, Jesus Christ, are we really about to, you know, drop three out of four against Minnesota? Obviously, good that we didn't. I'm glad that we don't have to, you know, play Correa for a little bit or play against him.
I think it's in a week. I think we play them on a Monday.
Do we play them again?
So that fast? I believe we do. I did see that circulating.
But I think the Twins are fun, dude, honestly. Like, they're fun. Like, kind of like how you mentioned to me the Orioles. Like, they've been fun for a couple years. The Twins are kind of fun. Like, Buxton in that DH role. Like, I'm kind of – like, Buxton's never played more than, what, like 80 games or something? Like, I'd be kind of – like, just as a baseball fan, I'd be kind of down to see what they could do. But, you know, playoff time, obviously.
They do have
obviously
a talented team.
But, yeah, they got some heads that can run it on their team for sure. Pablo Lopez, bro, I forgot they traded – I didn't forget, but I forgot he was the return for Arias in the offseason. And I was like, oh, shit.
That worked mutually.
Yeah.
That mutually worked very well.
And how often does that happen? How often does that happen, dude? Like, you're like, oh, cool, both teams are happy with the trade. Like, that doesn't fucking happen.
Not often.
You know? Yeah.
Not often. I'm trying to look when the next time we play Minnesota. So I was – oh, wait. So Monday, April 24th. So we do play.
So literally – 7 days from tomorrow.
And yeah, so Brito, at least as of now, is slated to pitch that first game on that Monday.
Vintage burrito against Minnesota.
So, yeah. Before we hop into what actually happened, we'll barely spend any time on game one.
Housekeeping.
The biggest news came today.
Not great, Rob. It's not great news.
I've defended him a lot. You've defended him a lot. We're a pro Giancarlo Stanton pod.
We'll continue to do so.
We'll continue to be a pro Giancarlo Stanton pod. But the rap that comes along with him is that he gets hurt. And he had that double off the wall that fooled Yankee fans, fooled Michael Kay, fooled everyone.
Fooled
that
the hell out thought of John Sterling, Rob.
Thought it was out, hit off the wall, and he ended up having to speed up because he thought it was out, and he ended up having to speed up and try and get it in a second, and he hurt his hamstring with a grade 2 hamstring strain. And the sort of best-case scenario is that he's out 4 to 6 weeks, but it could be up to 2 months. And we know he's dealt with hamstring injuries before. And it's really unfortunate because, as I said at the start of the season, if this guy is healthy, plays wishful, thinking 130 games, that the Yankees are going to have a really solid season and he's going to be a contributor. And he absolutely was playing very good baseball up to the injury. And it's just really unfortunate because you said before we got on that we would now, for the next month and a half or so, we're going to be talking about, just wait till Giancarlo gets back. Just wait till Giancarlo gets back. And it's going to really suck. And you also made this point to me that DJ, we know DJ has an injury history, and they're sort of in the same boat. But what really sucks to me is we know how important Aaron Judge is to this team, but then the guys that follow behind that are Giancarlo Stanton and DJ LeMahieu, especially offensively. And then you're thinking, okay, well, Stanton's out now. We know DJ is dealing with a little something right now that's kept him out lately. So, you know, we hope he doesn't land on the IL, but it wouldn't surprise me that it ends up coming, you know, at some point. So that really sucks to have these guys, you know,
big
slated to be
team
on the IL. And they're I think, 1A, 1B when it comes to how important they are behind Judge is what I think.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of what makes the world spin at the end of the day. You're like, okay, we've said it time and time again. When DJ's, you know, I mean, they like him in the middle of the order, but just, you know, what we've said in the past, when DJ's at the top of the lineup, this lineup's going to go. And the same logic applies for Giancarlo. And same logic applies for Giancarlo when we're talking, like you said, with DJ, dude. It's like, listen, man, when they're on the field, we know, I think we have a very good idea of what they're going to be. And what they're going to be is very good. Above average baseball player. Helped this lineup the whole way around. And that's all we know, though. We don't really know what the availability is all the time. When they're going to be 100% healthy. And that's kind of the sad reality of it. And it's been like that for quite some time. As a Yankee fan, Rob, I'd say for at least the last 4 or 5 years. And it's no knock. Like, I'm not even trying to come on here and complain, honestly. It literally just is the reality of being a Yankees fan the last 5 years. Like, we don't see our full team frequently. And I don't know if that's something all teams deal with, because, I mean, there's definitely, you know, there's injuries up and down here and there. But how often, like, do we really get our full, you know, preseason roster construction ever throughout the regular season? Does that really ever happen, man? You know, because even last year, you're talking, you know, we had this team, this really good lineup going in the postseason, and then you lose DJ, Benintendi, Matty Carps. I mean, I feel like there's no consistency, and that's kind of, it's a thing that sucks about, you know, recently being a Yanks fan. But it's I guess it's the reality of it. I don't know if it's what it is, but that's what it is. I don't even know if that makes sense, but
yeah, it's unfortunate. It really stinks.
Because we got Bader coming back in a couple weeks too, and he's got to go through like a whole camp at least. He didn't, you know.
And then that's another thing. How long is he? You made the point to me is how long is he going to be back around?
Yeah, we have holes right now.
His past 3-4 years has been back and forth off the IL, on the IL. Like I've said it a lot of times, a slippery slope when it comes to this Yankees team. Yeah. But I guess like I said to you, the best that we could hope for is, I guess the weird way that I put it in my brain is, you know, with Stanton out for this portion of time at the start of the year, it's sort of the opposite of what we had last year when he got hurt at the was it the tail end of June or tail end of July? I think it was the end of July after the All-Star break.
Yeah, I don't
so
remember.
Then we missed him that. So
let's do some baseball math though, Rob. So who fills the DH spot when let's say Bader's going to be back and Donaldson's are going to be back in, let's just say, 10 days, and say that they play a full almost 2 months. Let's call it 7 weeks without Giancarlo. Who's rotating in that DH spot? Is it JD, DJ, Oswaldo, and Cordero. Is that it? Are those the four DH options?
Honestly, at this point, I would
Hicks
really
even
think about playing DJ the majority of the time in that DH spot, just to keep him off his feet.
Yeah, because then field. Yeah, you help DJ out,
And then you could mix in Franchi because he's obviously been hot, and you know he's a bigger guy, and if you want to have DJ in at some times during the field, I know obviously a lot of people want him over Donaldson at third.
So the reality of it is the person that's taking Giancarlo's everyday spot is essentially Oswaldo and JD, because we're considering DJ an everyday player, so he just spells positions here and there, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of going to be either JD, Waldo, Franchi. Is that it?
Yeah, because so they called up Oswald Peraza, but Boone has already said once Donaldson gets back on Wednesday. Yeah. And one guy made a really good point, and it really sucks.
I'd be mad if they had him sit on the bench, Rob. I really would be.
Yeah, but it's a whole other conversation of them just calling him up, sending him down, calling him up, sending him down, which is just – it's what they've done, and it's a flaw. So that's, I don't think, in the realm of possibilities, especially with how early they're – and the leash is still – longer than we'd like on Donaldson. So yeah, that
for Peraza to come up, a middle infielder has to get hurt. That's what I think, at least.
Yeah. So I don't think that really factors in, but at this point in that DH role, I think it's DJ, you know, Donaldson some days if they want to play DJ in the field, but really at that rate,
maybe they just share third base two days here, 3 days there, you know? That might be the reality of it.
Yankee fans may not like this, but it's just even these early scares and this what happened to Stanton has me even more scared for DJ, because DJ kicked ass today.
Yeah,
it's just saying, okay, I know Donaldson pisses us off, but I'd rather have that guy playing that position every day at the hot corner just to, like, you know, keep DJ off his feet.
Just to
sometimes.
Keep DJ. Yeah, I mean that's nothing wrong with that. I mean It's the same thing they do with Giancarlo, you know? They throw someone else in the outfield so Giancarlo can be off his feet. Ironically, it doesn't fucking matter, Rob, however many games he's been. He was supposed to play 60 games in the outfield this year. They said it to us. They said 40 to 60 games.
Not happening.
Oh, dude, and I'm not even mad. Excuse my dude. For anyone that doesn't know, I'm trying to stop saying dude on this pod. But I'm not even mad at Giancarlo, because it just kind of comes with the territory at this point. I think we like... Rob, if we said, you know, February, go, hey, Giancarlo's guaranteed to play 125 games. I give thumbs up, I think.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I'm thinking.
Well, we are already kicking out.
But you're
at
talking
least
2 months.
40 games.
And then subtract another 20 for rest and getting him back in the swing. Yeah.
Whatever. At this point, you know, I think the Yankees are a good enough team that when
they
it comes
are.
Down to it, they're gonna be in the playoff picture, and you just
division's
I
good
hate
though,
this
Rob,
logic.
For sure.
I hate
we know
yeah,
that.
I hate the I hate this logic, but you get your guys healthy for and when it matters, but it's the truth.
We know the Yankees treat the regular season different. They have for a long time. Yeah. They show it every year. Which is fine. But
sometimes we find flaws in that when it comes in the long run and what we really think that setting the habits and everything and where that then has them end up, say, playing every different lineup in the ALCS and everything.
No,
but
absolutely.
That's a conversation for what we don't want to be talking about. But it was a depressing thing to hear today, especially with Stanton landing on the IL. Do you think Peraza plays on Tuesday, though?
It'd be kind of messed up if they told
him
to play.
Just let him sit on the bench
at that point. Yeah. Because it's almost like then he's going to be out there. He's like, they don't even want me out here. You know, they're just putting me out here to throw me a piece of candy. They're throwing me a bone. I hope they don't play him. But off day tomorrow. No. He's not playing. I wouldn't think so.
All right, let's hop into what happened in the series. So, game one, I turned it off by inning three, I think. I should even turn it off.
I didn't watch much.
In inning one, but Johnny Brito goes 2 2/3 of an inning, 7 hits, 7 earned runs, 1 walk, Colt Brewer came in and he was DFA'd after this game, but he went 3 1/3, 4 earned runs, 1 walk, 2 Ks. I think he gave up 2 home runs in the first inning too. Maybe it was at least one after.
Yeah, it was in the first inning because we were down 9-0 after the first.
Yeah, it was the worst. I think
it was impressively bad.
The last time it happened was, I believe, 2000 or like 2000, maybe 99, and with those good teams, that's even crazy. So between 99 and 2001, but it happened.
It's baseball.
When you see that,
man,
you know that it happens to the best of, and you just wash it. Rizzo had 2 home runs in the game, so I heard a quote from him after. He just said, "You know, it sucks, but you just got to wash it down and just
literally
move on to the next one."
You see how? Hold on. You know how they how him and Gleyber do the. What is this sign called, Rob?
Like
punk rock,
loose,
like the rock?
Yeah.
Rock
like
on
or whatever.
Hang loose, yeah. So but, you know how they do, they when Gleyber or Rizzo either hits a home run, they go to the camera and they hug each other and they do that?
Yeah.
He didn't do it at the end of those 2 homers for this game.
Yeah,
which is good call, Rizzo. Smart. Veteran move.
I remember last year, I think, when the Blue Jays were doing that stupid coat. I'm pretty sure they did it when they were down a few runs. I remember
just
seeing
that. Just like the Sox used
clips.
To do their cart thing when they were down like 8 runs
against
us.
That was the other one.
That was embarrassing.
Yes, they did the cart after they were down by, you're right. Because
you know if Rizzo did it, Yankee Twitter would have been like, oh, my God, Rizzo, how can he do this, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, you saw people lost it. I don't want to call, but I saw some stuff circulating on Twitter that people were mad that Anthony Volpe was smiling after his first home run.
You don't agree with that take?
No,
yeah, right. All right, thank you.
Just wild.
It was a terrible take.
So personally, for those that are just listening and don't see me, I'm typically a person that just smiles. Like you have like you smile. That's a part of your personality, and it's just what you do. Like as growing up as a kid, I smiled a lot. Like I and especially when a kid playing for his favorite team in the Bronx hits a home run,
his first one,
I have no problem with him smiling. I think that it's just if you want to talk about it later down the road when he has more experience, that's one thing.
And
but you
April
gotta put 15th, it in context,
man. Come on,
it's stupid. But speaking of which, so game two. The Nestor goes 7 innings pitched, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 7 Ks. Anthony Volpe, as we said, opened it up with his leadoff home run. Great to see, especially after last pod where I was saying you got to get the stick going, and he did so this series a little bit.
Stole a bunch of bags,
Stole a bunch of bags. He's 7 for 7, I believe, this season, so amazing to see. Him and Judge go back-to-back, so that was cool to start
that
the game.
That was very cool.
Giancarlo also hit a home run in the bottom of the sixth, which was a great home run to see. And then obviously he's not here anymore. Not literally. He's not dead. He's on the IL.
Not with us anymore.
Correa also hit a home run. So after the bottom of the sixth, it's 3-1. And Clay Holmes, again,
frustrating, man.
I think I should leave the floor for you on this because you've been talking about it, and you were very opinionated on Friday night on Twitter. So,
like I said to you, Rob, I texted you, and I think there comes a time in the season where I'm invested all year, obviously, but there comes a time where I start to really get bothered when the Yankees do dumb things or they lose in annoying fashion. And I text you, I go, yep, this is the first game where Tyler is ripshit. Like, I'm actually very annoyed that they lost this game. And it really was just classic Clay Holmes. There's been a bunch of stats floating around on Twitter. I think his first, like, 50 innings pitched or something like that with the Yankees, he had, like, a sub-1 ERA, absolutely disgusting. In his last, like, 80 innings pitched with the Yankees, he's got just under a 6 ERA, walks a ton of batters, obviously. He's just simply not the same pitcher that they acquired and that had that really good, like, almost historical first-half run with the Yankees last year. So I put it as simply as this, Rob. I don't think he should be the closer right now. You got other options. Ron Marinaccio, I said it to you. Michael King. Throw Wandy Peralta in there if you want to. They have options. Even Ian Hamilton, man, we'll get into him a little bit later, but he's working his way up the bullpen trust tree in my world as well. So I just think, listen, Clay's been bad for too long. I said it. I think I literally said it the first game of the season or second game of the season when he had a bad outing. I'm not going to freak out about it because I don't hate him to the extent that I hated Aroldis Chapman. But like I said on Twitter, Rob, I go, what's the difference, man? You know, one of them's a piece of shit and is erratic on the field with the baseball, and one of them's not a piece of shit, but is still erratic on the baseball field when he's trying to throw strikes. So I don't really know. It's kind of frustrating, and it's just a game you got to have, man. Straight up.
I think when it comes to a bullpen trust tree, I think definitely on the top would be Wandy and Marinaccio at this point.
I'm getting confident in Mike King again. I must be.
Yeah, Mike King has bounced back well after the struggle to start the season. But I as I said to you, I don't think it's this clear-cut guy that you're going to put into the closer
Just
role
do closer because, by committee.
Yeah, closer by committee is fine with me because Marinaccio is only in his second year in the big leagues, and that's
yeah, no one has like
situation to put a guy in. Yeah, so you kind of just got to let it organically develop, sort of like how it happened with Clay last year. Clay was really freaking good, so you have to let it organically. If a guy stands out and it looks like, okay, this guy has been put in a lot of situations and has flourished, then if you have to then change to a new sort of closer role, that's what you go for. I was hoping it would be Loaizaga, but obviously he's on a long IL.
Damn
stint.
It, I forgot about Loaizaga. Like, ugh,
or Tommy Kane, or Tommy Canely, but we know he won't be back for at least till I think end of May. We were talking about it last pod. Yeah. So,
but you said it perfectly, Rob. Mm-hmm. Organically is how it has to happen. If no one stands out, there should be no closer. It should be closer by committee. When someone stands out, you have a closer. I think organically is the best way you could have said it.
Yeah.
But Nestor shoved this game too, Rob.
Nestor did look very good. 7 Ks there. He got bit by the home run ball with Garlic got him in the seventh. And then Clay was brought in to face the heart of the order, and then they just let him. Not. I mean, I don't want to say floodgates because it was only 2 runs, but there was a lot of base.
It was gross. It was sloppy the whole time. Nestor is a Yankee. I put those stats on Twitter, Rob. 335.1 innings pitched, a 3.22 ERA, 129 ERA plus, almost striking out 10 batters per 9 innings. That includes his 2019 season, Rob, with the Yankees, where he did not pitch well. He's good, man. I know. I feel like we've passed, the fans, we've passed this. Oh, this is just like a fun thing. You know, Nestor's going to regress at some point. Like, nah. Nestor's legit. He's one of the better pitchers in baseball. And I really hope, if people didn't actually respect it last year, that they're really starting to catch on this year, because Nestor is that guy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right, game number 3. A little drama.
Let's get a win in this one, huh, Rob?
Yeah, we needed a win, and Domingo Germán went crazy in this game. Really, really pitched amazingly.
Perfect Saturday game, Rob. Perfect.
So, it was. It was nice little overcast, so it was a good day for a game. Germán goes 6 1/3, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 0 walks, and 11 Ks. Impressive with the Ks, obviously, mm-hmm. for his highest of his career, but also the 0 walks after giving up the 5 last or earlier this week against Cleveland. So in the top of the 4th, the Rocco Baldelli accuses Germán, who was perfect up to that point, of having a substance on his fingers. Germán gets confronted by the umpire, and then Germán, after the fact, talks about how it was rosin, which is a legal substance. Mm-hmm. I'll say it again, is a legal substance in baseball. And he was asked, and he explained it through his translator, I believe, that he uses the rosin that's at his on the bench at his spot there in the dugout.
He says he sits there like every day too.
Yeah, and he doesn't use it on the field. And I guess they thought Baldelli was thinking that it was particularly tackier that day. Mm-hmm. And obviously,
some sweat, Rob. Going, you know,
if a guy his stuff, I think he had close to 6 to 7 Ks or something through 4, and so he was looking really good. So little gamesmanship here, saying, okay, we can't hit this guy. We're going to check him out a little bit.
Do
since
you,
he's
Rocco?
Using this
you
stuff.
Know, yeah.
And he was asked to wash his hands and stayed in the game. And everyone's like, well, why wasn't he thrown out? Why wasn't he thrown out? And this huge uproar of, like, after the Cole stuff, it's just all the sticky stuff is just crazy how people get so triggered by it.
Yeah.
The one thing that it made me think of, you were watching the playoffs last year. Do you remember when Buck Showalter called out Musgrove for the stuff on the, so that was what I was
wasn't Musgrove shoving too?
Yeah, he was shoving. So I was thinking, okay, it's a little gamesmanship here. Like, we can't hit this guy for shit.
I wouldn't
so
mind. If Boone did it, I wouldn't mind it. You know, if he did it to someone else.
So I understand it, but this whole uproar that happened on social media.
And then he talks for like 20 minutes in the postgame interview. He's like, I'm going to be brief about this.
And no, and honestly, I watched it, and I didn't really think it was that bad because he just – their accusation was, okay, he's using too much rosin.
Yeah.
Which is – but don't tell me – like, I saw people talking about, you know, spin rates and doing the comparisons like they were doing for Cole with the spider tack. I don't even think this is in the stratosphere of the Cole thing.
It's not even
Cole
close.
Thing,
he got checked, Rob, like five times.
First of all,
every
that
inning,
stuff
six
is
– times.
It's funny to look, especially when we talk about the next game, but it's funny to look at that and how good Cole still is about the spider tech. But that was a strictly illegal substance to be using. Rosin is allowed in Major League Baseball, and I just thought it was completely overblown. And it's just like, dude, shut up with this uproar and all this stuff that was happening and just this talk. And I'm like, just relax. And obviously, it would. I mean, if he finished a perfect game or got a no-hitter, it would have been even crazier.
Yeah.
But it would have been funny, but I would have said, you know, relax. Yeah. But he was allowed to stay in the game, and Domingo pitched very, very well. As I said, 6 1/3, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 11 Ks.
Perfect time for him to have that start too, Rob.
Yeah,
right
really
after.
Good bounce.
I mean, Brito, I'm just talking in terms of the fifth starter. Brito absolutely, you know, poops
sucked
his pants. And then Herman goes out and goes, yeah, I'll just, you know, be perfect through six and have 11 Ks.
Yeah. So Higgy, little Oppo Taco home run in the bottom of the second, put us up 2-0.
He's big
Rizzo
in these rubber
run
games, huh, Higgy?
Yeah,
last
Higgy,
week he did the same thing.
I was telling
thing
you. I wouldn't be surprised if Higgy Bomb goes for 15 this year. But also, too, I said this to you, Ark, I am perfectly fine. I don't think we'll be complaining. I knock on wood. I don't think we'll be complaining about the catching situation, the, you know, managing the staff. They've done a really solid job. I want to see them do it with, obviously, Severino and Rodon, because then that's when it's like, okay, let's see it go. But you know, Trevi had a hit today, I believe, and I think he'll – and it's just solid, and you just got to say, hey, they manage the staff well, and they go out, and they'll poke one out here and there. And honestly, I am perfectly fine
with
that.
I love it,
yeah. And so Higgy goes ahead, as I said, home run. Rizzo had a porch job. DJ goes ahead and RBI 4-0. And then the single run that the Twins got was in the top of the seventh by Miranda. On a double off of – who did he hit it off of? I'm trying to check.
In the seventh? Was it Mike
Michael
King?
Michael King. Or, no, it was Herman's earned run because he let that guy
Mike King
on
gave
so
up the
it was
hit?
Herman's – yeah, but gotcha. King gave up the hit, but then he ended up getting out of it. And then Stanton had his double that we talked about that he got hurt on earlier, which was unfortunate. That got, you know, K fooled and everything. But the Yankees come out of it with a 6-1. 6-1 win. Was there anything else that from this one that you wanted to chat about?
No, this one was relaxing, Rob. Liked it a lot in terms of just a game to enjoy. Just like I said earlier, perfect Saturday game. Very relaxing, Herman. Obviously, shove. Do you think that this plays into effect when Sevy and Rodon come back in terms of who's going to get that five starter role? Like, do you think there's a chance they lean a little more Herman now? Or are we being that recency bias? I don't know.
The way Brito sucked was like, okay.
Oh, yeah, it was really bad. But obviously, I mean, Herman's had stinkers like that, you know? Not like that, but
maybe not like
that. But at the point, if you're giving up 5 runs or 9 runs in the first inning, what do I care? You know, once you're giving up five, it's like,
see, but I think – the argument that I've always said with Herman, it may not – this, I don't think it's the definitive.
You know what you're getting out of him.
You know what you're getting, but also he is a quality starter.
Yeah.
He could easily go out and get you 6 innings on any given day.
If he got cut, he'd sign probably like a 2-year $50 million deal or $45 million deal, something like that.
I think he would get a contract quite fast. And I think
– he's like Eduardo Rodriguez when he was on the Sox and then the Tigers signed him, and now he's like their
ace. That's not a bad comparison. But you know, he goes out and he there obviously there's times where he'll have his stinkers, but who doesn't? And then
he's not winning a Gold Glove, we know that.
Yeah, definitely not. And then but like last year, he had a stretch of like 4, 5, maybe 6
games.
Yeah,
but we were like, who the hell is this guy?
Really good.
He's a great regular season pitcher. How about that?
He is. And I think that's why the Yankees want to keep him around, clearly. Yeah. So, yeah.
No, I'm good.
Good start.
Yeah, I'm good on this game, though. Lot out of the bullpen that I liked, especially after blowing it the night before and having the bullpen need to go a bazillion innings in game one. But no, this is a good dub. And it would have been really bad if they lost this game, because then you're going into today and you're like, damn, we just lost 3 straight to the Twins. We can't even split this series. So yeah. Very good dub.
Yeah. You want to take the capper? This was good.
Yeah, I'll take it. Garrett, Rob obviously absolutely shoves game 4. Yanks win 2-0. Cole, what is this? His second complete game as a Yankee, arguably one of his best starts as a Yankee as well. 9 innings pitched, 2 hits, 1 walk, Rob, 10 Ks. Ties Ron Guidry for most games pitched with 10-plus Ks at 23. So, obviously, he'll pass that this year. I think we all got to reiterate, this is Garrett Cole's 4th season as a Yankee, man. He's crushing Yankee starting pitching records all over the place. He did the opening day one at the beginning of the season. I mean, we're in April, Rob. We're crushing records. But this was basically the DJ LeMahieu game. It was the DJ LeMahieu and the Garrett Cole game. DJ in the 3rd, singles to right, Judge and Rizzo. Judge scores, makes it 1-0. And then in the 6th, Rob, DJ porch job literally off the top of the wall, makes it 2-0, and that's game. Mm-hmm. Penn closes it out. We love that. Who did close this out? Why am I? No, Penn
no,
closes
complete
it
game.
Out. Cole threw a complete game. I'm just mumbling stuff. But yeah, I mean, I was fired up to watch this game. It was awesome to see Garrett. I think short haired Garrett is literally going on a ridiculous run, and it's just beautiful to see, especially after all those top 10 lists and all the stuff we've been talking about all year, Rob. What has he got? 0.95 VRA to start the season, I believe?
Yeah, 0.95. Also, too, he passes Whitey Ford in all-time strikeouts.
That put him on the top 100 list, I think, right?
Yeah, arguably the best Yankees starter of all time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know he's retired in the Yankees numbers. Just a kick-ass start from our guy, man.
Hello, everyone. Kermit the Frog here. Oh!
I mean, we both said it.
9 innings
pitched. I think this guy's on track to win the Cy Young.
He hasn't won one yet with the Yankees. Like, he's due. That's the thing, too. He's just due.
Well, he hasn't won one, period, because
he didn't win one. I couldn't believe he didn't win in 2019. That was robbery, I thought, by it. Like, you look at 2019 Garrett Cole stats, like one of the best seasons in recent history in terms of a pitcher.
Modern baseball history.
Yeah, exactly. And they gave it to Verlander. Like, come on.
Yeah.
That's why.
I think he's a man on a mission. But I guess we can hop into it. Let's do a little Savage of the Series.
Let's do it.
I'm gonna go ahead and take it because we're already talking about
to.
Him. But Garrett Cole. Let's look at the complete stats for him.
For the year?
For this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Da, 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 da. Okay. So he's got 4 wins, for those that care about pitchers' wins. 4 wins. He has a .95 ERA. He has 28 and a third innings pitched, 32 strikeouts with a .74 whip. The guy is just
– sheesh.
He is living up to the ace – tag, and he's also living up to the price tag. I just right now in April, and there will be people that say, oh, well, you know, we gotta see him do it for a prolonged season. Okay, yes, true.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're gonna see him do it for the whole season. I think we're gonna see him do it, and I've said earlier in the year, I think this guy's gonna win the Cy Young. I really do. If it's that crazy, I don't know. Sue me, but
it's not Rob. It's not crazy. It's fair to say he's the top pitcher in baseball. He always has been, and for some reason, there's been this complete disconnect with reality and Twitter, where Garrett Cole's like not a top pitcher in baseball, but he is, and he has been. He's never left that place. I feel like I don't understand. Obviously, you got to go Gerrit Cole. One of us had to, Rob. So if you didn't do it, I was going to do it. I'm going to honorable mention, shout out Volpe here, because I'll talk about him in a sec. Had a hit in all of these games, Rob. I think he stole either three or four bags. He had that one game where he stole three bags. So shout out Volpe for getting the stick rolling a little bit. But then, dude, I know he only played two games, but I'm giving it to DJ LeMahieu. Played a big role in the last two games as well. Where'd my game logs go? There we go. Three hits, 3 for 8, 2 runs, 1 homer, 3 RBIs. And that does it. He single-handedly won the game today. He's going to be a big piece moving forward, you know, as long as he's healthy. But I'm big on player. Like I gave it to Higgy, I think it was last week, because I feel like he almost single-handedly won that deciding game in Baltimore. And I'm going to go same thing with DJ here, because he was a monster today. And it was big him coming back in game 3. So I'm going to go DJ.
Honorable mention, too, I think we should say Herman, for sure.
Yeah, Herman definitely Saturday, shoved. Hell yeah.
You got to bounce back on after the first two L's.
A lot of good out of this series, honestly, Rob, because we could throw Nestor in the mix, too. Oswaldo had a good series. Like you said, Volpe had a good series. So a lot of good, honestly, out of this series, even though it was a disgusting game 1. And you could talk yourself into saying the Yankees played good enough to win 3 of these games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Certainly, certainly, certainly. MVPs of sucking.
They stink.
Johnny Brito. Oof.
Have to.
You got a game this week.
Kind of rude, but you got to do it.
Time to bounce back against the Angels. Mm-hmm. I think it's a solid opportunity to bounce back, because we usually play the Angels pretty well when they're at home. I know Ohtani's actually pitching tomorrow.
You were at one of the most upsetting Yankees Angel games of all time, Rob.
I was when Chapman blew that.
You did go home though, right?
Yeah,
smart man. Yeah, it was like a 5-hour rain delay.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm not staying here. I got work tomorrow. And then I hear some kids on the train go, Chapman blew it.
Those are games that like actually take years off my life.
Yeah,
you're going
not this year.
No. Oh yeah, not this year. We'll just do it with Clay instead. Speaking of, wonder who my MVP is sucking is, Rob. It's gonna be Clay Holmes. Made one appearance this series, lost the game. Like I said, I thought the Yankees played well enough to win 3 of these games. One innings pitched, 2 hits, 2 earned runs, a walk, 1 extra base hit, no Ks. This is not going to do it, Rob. Simply put, he's got a 5.4 ERA on the season. Got to be better than that, man. It's sad because the games he's looked good in, Rob, I've also noticed he's not just pumping his sinker, which was what made him so good that in that first half run. When he hasn't had the sinker, he'll just go straight to the slider, which is fine if it's going to work. But it doesn't work, Rob, a lot of the time.
Yeah,
you know?
He's missing a lot. I listened after
I want him to be good because I do like him, except for when he blows games, and I hate him. But I want him to be good, so I'm not even rooting for his downfall.
Yeah, I listened to Boone after, and he was saying how he had good stuff on Friday, and I was like,
just like IKF played great shortstop, and
I was like,
and
come
JD's
on, man.
Swing's coming around. And I love Boone, but it's eyewash.
Yeah, it's just okay. But no, very, very deserving MVPs of sucking. But hopefully, you know, bounce back. Still got plenty of time.
Should we shout out Rizzo, too? He had a good series.
Yeah, we had him as our Savage of the Week on Instagram. Uh-huh. So he had 3 home runs this week, 5 RBIs, 1 walk, 5 runs scored, batting .346 this week with a .415 on base and a 1.106 OPS. So Rizzo.
Quietly, he's absurd.
Yeah, Rizzo, he started this
way. We need to talk about him more, Rob.
Too.
Jesus.
Yeah. I think, should we talk about him now?
Let's talk about him.
I think we should, because so for the year, let's look.
169 OPS plus on the year, Rob.
Yeah, that's very
that's
good.
Dumb. 988 OPS.
So he has 17 hits for the year, 4 home runs, 9 RBIs, hitting .315 with a .406 on base percentage and a 980 OPS. And he's obviously, we know that he's holding it down at the first base mm-hmm. position. And we see him, you know, engaging with Volpe in the dugout, and obviously he's boys with Judge, and we know the chemistry stuff, but
He's a glue, bro.
We saw it last year too. The way that he starts the season, and Rizzo just, I mean, he's natural
ready to roll.
Yankee. Yeah. He's a natural Yankee. He loves playing here, and
he's a vet. He knows how spring training
moves. Awesome. He's perfect for the short porch.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. We saw him hit that one on Saturday, and he's built to be a Yankee, and he just continues to just do it. And right now he's kicking ass, and I think he's just going to continue to do so. We know that he had some injuries.
Too.
Yeah, it's funny. He gets fired.
Slams his helmet when there's two outs.
Yeah, two outs. He thought there were three outs. That was hilarious. So Rizzo's been kicking ass, so we had to shout him out for sure.
Heck yeah.
Sure.
And he's going to be big with G gone too. You know, someone's got to slug their way.
Could be in the cleanup role if we need him at some point.
Probably, yeah. You think Oswaldo gets a chance to bump up in the lineup if he keeps – if he keeps playing well? I'm talking because he hits in the middle of the order for the most part. But, before we leave, Rob, I also think we should touch on DJ in the middle of the order because it seems like they want to do that. That's what it seems like to me.
And, too, Volpe's been hitting better leadoff.
Uh-huh. And DJ's bat, like, we've dreamt of it being in the middle of the order. We're like, please, you know?
Yeah.
He's with runners on base, he's nuts. So I think that's where his bat should be. It would be awesome if Volpe can keep just drawing walks and stealing bags because
then you could easily slot him in the lead off and then do whatever you need to do with DJ.
Yeah, then it's Judge, Rizzo, obviously not Stanton anymore. So, yeah, you could throw DJ in the cleanup spot. You could stretch him and put him in the five or swap him and Glaber, you know.
Put Glaber in cleanup, yeah.
Or squeak Oswaldo up there because he's a switch hitter, and then you have DJ four.
I'll be honest. I think I like Oswaldo lower.
That's fine. I'm just Oswaldo thinking in terms lower. Of breaking up the righties. That's all I'm thinking.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't mind Oswaldo. I don't mind Oswaldo anywhere. It's like the guy can play anywhere and he can hit anywhere for all I care.
I will say it's such a different vibe of what we had in say
the last couple of years. Just wait till Jason's here, dude.
June of 2022 when it comes to the shortstop position. Because Waldo this week at least backed up and played shortstop a few times, maybe like once or twice. And I love watching him play short too. I mean, he's got a great arm. He's got great range. He's such a great athlete.
Volpe made a nice play too on like a one hopper liner to him. And we're just sitting there going,
The defense at the shortstop position, I think, is squared away to a good point.
Defense we're cool with. And then Volpe stealing bags, man. I love it. Three bags. Love that.
Mm-hmm.
He's stealing
7
50.
For 7. 7. Yeah, I think your prediction is on point with Volpe on pace.
50 would be crazy, but if he steals 35 or 40.
I mean, he's here all year and he's playing, I think he – especially with the pitch clock, because Paul O'Neill actually made the point, because when it's
yeah,
like,
how they
it's
can
countdown.
Like jump into it, yeah,
it's a countdown because they have to do it. Yeah. So it's like, okay,
I love
he's not
watching
throwing
him
over,
lead, dude. I got it. So it's two dudes in the last couple sentences.
But he's perfect for what this team needed in terms of an athlete playing the position and just being speed.
Yeah.
He is speed. He's Lightning McQueen out there.
And like you said a couple pods ago, as long as he gets away from those really silly, like over-enthusiastic at-bats where he's just kind of swinging at whatever, and if he's patient and continues to draw walks, just get on base, man, because when you're on base, pitchers can't really handle it. There's been a couple times where pitchers have thrown over twice to him, and then you're like, okay, now he's definitely going. So
yeah, because they got the limited amount of throws over.
So I love it for Volpe, and even when he doesn't steal, he's like just jumping around nonstop. Like
and
the
it,
whole
it gets
time.
In a pitch, gets in a pitcher's head, gets in the positions guy's head, everything. Yankees go out to, or they're still at home all this week, so they got Los Angeles, Angels on Tuesday, and then through Thursday, and then this weekend we got the Frauds coming in.
The Frauds.
Toronto.
Can't wait. So, Alec Manoah today, huh? What do you think about that, Rob?
What was the news on Alec?
Oh,
I didn't see that.
He pitched terribly. He got absolutely rocked. I'm pretty sure his season stats are really bad. So I'm not saying he's bad because I think he's disgusting. But I could make a mean joke, but I might refrain from it.
Well,
a lot of
Yankees fans are fat-shaming him, which I – I'm not a part of that.
All right, I'm not doing it, but I've seen it.
Well,
it's more the shit he talks that is why I don't like him.
Yeah, no, I get you. Well, it turns of big pitchers.
But he's nasty. He'll probably drop.
It works for
everyone.
I mean, CC was a big guy. So.
Oh yeah. Hey, Cole's put on some dad weight since he's been here. Little dad weight here, little dad weight there, and he's.
That's what I think that it should happen with Stanton.
Bro, my buddy texts me. He goes, "Why can't Stanton be fat as soon as the injury?"
It works for people because like Stanton's just so tightly wound with just looking like a superhero. Yeah. It's just like one little step on a Lego or something just F's him.
Exactly. So, the other day I was quizzing my girl while we're watching the game. I go, "Who's that?" And she didn't know who it was. I go, "That's Giancarlo Stanton." And she's like, "Wow, he's like really big." And I like immediately pull up the picture of him, like his swimsuit edition or whatever Sports Illustrated. I'm like, yeah, imagine this guy gets hurt so much, but he's disgusting when he's on the field.
Yeah, it's so.
Hopefully he gets hurt. He's back in the middle of June and he plays 80, 90 more games.
We have to limit our – just wait till Stanton gets back.
Yeah, we should get a counter on those. Like I'll just I'll nick it off somewhere.
Yeah. But as I said, going to play the Angels through Thursday, and then this weekend the fraudulent Toronto Blue Jays come in. And then we go back out to Minnesota on a road trip in Minnesota to Texas. And then, lot of games going on.
We got to win, man.
Clark Schmidt will be on Tuesday, so that should be interesting. Yeah. Shohei's coming into town. Luckily, or actually, I wish he was pitching against us because we destroyed him the first two times that he's pitched against the Yankees. I was there for one where they lit him up for like six runs in the first inning. So, but he's not pitching, so we'll have to wait.
JD makes his return this week, I think, right?
JD is slated to come back on Wednesday, so can't wait for that. But
step up, JD. This is your freaking time, man. Like seriously.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't like him. You know, I can't stand him either. But we know we don't root for. We just root for production. If you're gonna produce, cool. So JD's out, man. Step up. You're probably gonna hit in the four hole because they love you so much. So
we'll see.
Come back, JD's clean up.
That is it for episode number 140 of the Four Train Savages podcast. As always, subscribe, leave us a rate and review, and follow us on our social media accounts. We will catch you at episode 141. Thank you for listening.